Welcome to the show that has it all. This is the Betfred Super League.
What a game!
Champions, challengers, newcomers, league's faithful. Hold on tight. This is the Betfred Super League 2024. There's nothing like league. Yeah.
Took a big chunk.
Bleeding. It's bleeding.
Oh no, it's bleeding. The thing just ripped my ear off. What do you think?
Five weeks into the new season and Super League takes a break. It's all about the road to Wembley this week in the Betfred Challenge Cup. And so in this edition of Eddie and Steve-O the podcast, here also with the support of Betfred, who obviously back everything good about the game, we'll be looking ahead to this week's eight ties in the game's oldest and most prestigious knockout competition. And for that, as always, we are joined by Steve-O, who's waiting to talk to us down there in Australia. So, the Challenge Cup, Steve-O. Now, look, you won the World Cup and the league title back in the day, but you never made it to Wembley, did you? You never actually played there.
No, I lost in the semi-final, and it really did upset me. I never got the opportunity. And what makes it worse is I know you're going to mention this. You played a curtain raiser at the Wembley Stadium, and well done to you for doing that.
Did I? Have I? I've told you about that, have I? Let me tell you again, just to really rub salt into the wound.
This will be the 300th time that you've told me.
Well, this is the first time I've told our podcast listeners, so let me brag a bit. 29th of May, 1988, Wolverhampton Wanderers against Burnley in the final of the Sherpa Van Trophy. Now, I was working for the BBC in the Northwest at the time, and I was invited to pull on the claret and blue of Burnley in a curtain raiser pre the final. I played alongside such luminaries as the late great Nobby Styles. It was the old Wembley back then. And it was the last time I ever wore the football boots, because I clipped a lovely ball, if I say so myself, down the right-hand side of the pitch, straight into the path of my winger. And Nobby was calling for a simple pass inside to him. And he said, hey, great ball, big man. And, you know, I thought, it doesn't get much better than this. The boots went straight on the nail in the garage at home and were hung up forever. I never played again. Fantastic memory that was.
And so it should be as well, because it's a great achievement. It doesn't matter, you know, what you're playing there, if you've been there. I did actually have the opportunity to walk out onto the Wembley turf. And my first attempt, they wouldn't let me on. They wouldn't let me go on to it. And the following year, the Challenge Cup final, when we were both working together, I went early and I made sure I got onto the pitch. At least I walked on the sacred turf.
Good lad. I'm glad you got on there at some stage. Anyway, look, enough of my and your Wembley memory. Shame you haven't got a proper one. But let's talk rugby league. And first of all, last weekend's matches in the Betfred Super League before we move on to the Cup. Salford 12, Wigan 22. A great game, and Wigan won it in the last 5 minutes. But everyone is talking about Mark Snaid's decision to take a short goal line dropout with Wigan 10-12 down, and with only 12 men, and it backfired dramatically. Wigan scored from that, and again soon after, and the game was up for the Red Devils. Poor old Mark Snead, February's Player of the Month, and it all went wrong for him.
Yeah, it's difficult, and sometimes he thought perhaps that if they got the possession, it would become a hero. They would have played out the final seconds, and it would have been a great win for them. But it's always a gamble when you go for a short dropout. Simple as that. He really should have gone for a long one and then made it a defense of it. But look, it's how the game goes. And you've just got to remember that this Wigan outfit It's such a young outfit as well. They just never give in, Eddie.
No,
they just keep trying right to the end. And having said that, I was an absolutely amazed this morning when I heard the news that Wigan have given the coach Pete a 7-year contract.
I know. Isn't it fantastic?
That's got to be a world record in any sport, surely. And not only that, Eddie, the two assistant coaches get a 7-year deal as well.
They do. Sean O'Loughlin and Thomas Lulawai, 7-year deals. They are remaining at the club until at least the end of 2030. I mean, long-term appointments are a clear indicator of the faith in the current shape of the coaching setup and the direction of travel of the team going as a whole, isn't they?
Oh, of course. I mean, if you've got the confidence, and let's face it, you know, Pete has won everything that is available. Every yes. trophy that they've been under his guidance, they've picked up. World champions.
Remarkable.
It is remarkable. And look, Chris Radlinski, what a pat on the back from this guy to have so much confidence, because they're bringing the young kids through. They have done in the past for a long, long time. But this seems to be a new breed, a new attitude. It wasn't a case of, you know, years and years ago, we were the champions, we were the best. And they went through fallow times. But when you give 7 years to three coaches, boy, talk of confidence.
Indeed.
It's the best you can get.
Absolutely, a real thumbs up. And just to emphasise the dramatic rise of Matty Pete, though he has been at the club for a long time. Since he's become head coach, 68 games in all competitions, Challenge Cup, League Leaders Shield, Grand Final, World Club Challenge. Doesn't come much better than that, does it? It really doesn't. Fantastic news for him.
A lot of pop groups and singers, they'd retire and say, well, that's it. I've done it all. Look, the attitude that they've got. They've got a young man in Chris Radlinski leading the club. And we've got someone that has got so much confidence. I just wish a lot more other clubs can get into that position.
Indeed so. Well, I thought Salford Wigan on Thursday night was the best game of the season I'd seen so far. And then, the following night, Leeds against St Helens. What a game this was. A fantastic start from Leeds. St Helens, though, Steve-O, they're dogged, aren't they? They're gritty. Rhino's only 8-6 up at the break. Defence wins titles, they say. Saints have now conceded just 40 points all season. Leeds didn't score again.
You're right, Eddie. Defence is the best way to pick up trophies. It's the best way to make sure that you get on a winning run. It's all right being fancy. It's great scoring wonderful tries, but you've got to make sure that the opposition don't score more points. It's a simple equation, and if you can fulfil it for 90% of the season, you're going to be the champions.
Very much so. I mean, to be fair, Leeds defended pretty well in the second half as well. They also got four penalties in the latter stage of the game. They couldn't do much with them. But Saints have, I think I'm right in saying, they've now won 8 in a row at Headingley. And they meet again in the Challenge Cup this weekend. Repeat or revenge, Steve-O? What do you think?
Well, it's going to be very close. It always is that situation whereby you play the same team the following week. It depends on the attitude. You know, nerves can play a big part because, as you mentioned, Eddie, you played at Wembley. Every young kid wants to walk out at Wembley, and good on them. And that's how it should be.
And we're excited because it's the Challenge Cup this weekend. I'm sad to say that the BBC don't seem to be, because Leeds Saints is the tie of the round. It's been chosen by the BBC for television, but it's not getting on one of their main channels. It's live only on the iPlayer. To me, it's a bit of a snub for the Challenge Cup. It should be on the main channel. And there's no Premier League football this weekend either. So why not?
I'm with you.
Well, they've made the decision. And there we go. Hull 4, Lee 54. What a way for Lee to get off the mark. A win achieved without Tom Briscoe, John Asiata, Edwin Ipapi, Tom Amone, and Lachlan Lamb. Wow, what a win for Lee this was.
Well, I saw I saw the game, Eddie, and to be fair, Hull were atrocious. The defence was all over the place. They never got going. They looked as though they had no idea about positional sense or whatever. And look, the Leopards just took them apart. It's as simple as that. And not surprising that Tony Smith, he admitted as much. They were poor, they were flat. And let's face it, that a couple of weeks ago, they should have lost to London, the London Broncos.
Yes. They only got up, didn't they, in the last couple of minutes against the Broncos.
That's right.
To win the game, they did. They did.
And look, they're going through a really, really bad period.
To be fair to them, they do have injury problems and, more importantly, suspension problems of their own. I think they've been penalised more and they've lost more players to suspension since the start of the season. You know, they did welcome back some first-teamers, but they were way off the pace, as you say. Way off.
Yeah, yeah. Look, we know the quality of Tony Smith. He's a fine coach. And it's the same with the London Broncos. The reason why they're struggling is because, let's face it, they only find out by having the playoffs, which they did. They went down to the south of France. They beat Featherstone, then went down to Toulouse, and they made it. And they said, that's it. Right, you're in Super League. But it only gives them like 8-10 weeks to get players that are capable to keep you going in Super League. Remember Catalan, when they first came through, Super League allowed them to not be relegated. And that's the only way to make sure that we get a success. People keep telling me we've got to have a team in London. Yes, we do. And people keep telling me that years ago, we have to have a team in the south of France. Now, what they did was absolutely perfect. We gave them, 2 years, 3 years to build. They gave London 8 to 10 weeks to try to get players of a standard that could participate week in, week out in Super League. And you can't do that.
And to add injury to that, or add insult to injury, should I say, the week or two after that they got themselves into Super League, the grading plans came out of IMG. London were rated in the 20s, and they were virtually told, look, no matter what you do in Super League in 2024, you won't be there in 2025. Do you think Castleford, Steve-O, are falling into the same trap? Because they lost again to the Catalan Dragons at the weekend, a workmanlike performance from the Dragons in the south of France. We said London are doomed because they were ranked 24th in the grading system. Wakefield and Toulouse also score better than some Super League clubs. Could two Super League clubs be pushed out by the grading system for 2025? Are Castleford at risk? Is Super League being compromised by this grading system rather than being enhanced by it?
Well, obviously, we've spoken about it. IMG, they're bringing these new rules, new understanding. All the clubs voted for them to look after our future. I'm under the impression that our game of rugby league is that, you know, you score tries, kick goals, you win a game, and that means that you can sustain your development and get involved with it. And yet, before a ball was kicked, virtually the London Broncos have been kicked in the you-know-where.
I know. It's difficult for them. It really is. It really is difficult for them. And I'm slightly concerned that Castleford might be falling into the same trap, because Craig Lingard himself admits that many of his current squad not quite ready for Super League, but they're looking to the future to safeguard the ongoing position, which he says is the right thing to do. It seems that every time we try to expand, every time we try to give clubs a chance to get things sorted out, something comes along and just scuppers it and knocks the wheels off before they even get going.
And that probably comes from the fact that the top dogs, the people who are, you know, got plenty of depth with players, etc., junior development, etc., and so forth, and they fully deserve to be at the top. I understand that. But don't you think that the Catalan Dragons has been a huge success?
Massive.
I do.
You're massive.
I do. And yet, now, we're not interested in giving them time to develop.
No, it's a real problem. It really is. The one good thing about London, by the way, is that the crowds are holding up nicely, and the matches that they've played down there at Wimbledon have attracted more people already than went to the entire championship season last year. So that side of it is working, and that's what IMG and that's what the game wants now. They want more people through the turnstiles, and they want more interaction on social media. They want a few bob behind each club, and they want nice grounds. Wimbledon's a great ground. They seem to tick all the boxes, apart from the fact that they've been ranked number 24 on the list. It's difficult for them. I'm glad we're not running the game, Steve-O. I really am. I'm really glad that we're not involved, but we can make comment, and that's all that we do.
Hey, listen, listen, Eddie. To be fair, if you and I were running the game, right, we probably would be in a bigger mess.
absolutely we would. Huddersfield Hull KR, Huddersfield coming home after a big win at Castleford the previous week, and they lost to Rovers, who'd lost their last two games, and Rovers were 20-0 up going into the final quarter. Mikey Lewis catches the eye each and every week. He's not there for the Challenge Cup tie this week, which is going to be a tough one for them against Salford, who are playing so well. Mikey Lewis failed at an HIA last weekend, and George King also has come off with a hamstring. You know, it's going to be tough.
It is, but it's going to be one of the best games of the round.
It will. And they're not on telly. Not available to anyone who would like to see it. We've had an absolute feast of rugby league since week one on Sky. Every game's been on. And we come to this week, the first round of the Challenge Cup, there's nout. There's nothing. You're going to go searching for it. It's crazy. Good on Ryan Hall, though,
Steve-O.
Good on Ryan Hall.
Look, 243 tries. I mean, it is what? Danny Maguire, was that 248, 247?
247.
Yeah. 247. Well, if he keeps his fitness, I'm sure that he's going to beat Danny Maguire's record.
Yes.
But that's only in Super League. Now, let's get this sorted out. Because there's a man called Brian Bevan who scored 757 tries in 670 games. And I'm saying to myself, congratulations, but let's not forget that this man, Brian Bevan, an Australian that came over to play with Warrington and then went to Blackpool. And I know that my father used to say to me, he said, this man is the greatest of all time. He was phenomenal. 757 tries. He'll never be beat.
It never will be. I'm glad that you hark back to the past there, Steve. We're talking about Brian Bevan and further harking back that way. And some really, really sad news for everybody connected with the game, and for you in particular, because Phil Lowe, the man who was playing alongside you in the World Cup final with Great Britain when you won the World Cup in the 70s. Phil Lowe, Hull Kingston Rovers legend, has passed away. I mean, you've got some great stories about him. A once-in-a-lifetime player again, wasn't he? You've talked about Brian Bevan, but Phil Lowe, I suppose he drops into exactly the same sort of category.
Oh, a tremendous player. But more to the point, a tremendous friend. He never stopped smiling. He was always one to sort of have a little bit of a joke, and he loved rugby league. He loved playing the game. And he was one of the very few that realized that he was over 6 foot, a wonderful, wonderful player, but loved nothing better than to play not inside out wide of a center, but sometimes outside of the center. I mean, I can remember he also came to play with Manly down under, and he was a tremendous player, playing alongside the likes of Malcolm Reilly, and they won the grand final. There was only one try scored in that particular final, and it was by that one and only Phil Lowe. Rest in peace, my friend.
Yeah, indeed so. Our thoughts go out to Avril, Andy, Katie, and all of his family and friends at this sad time. They've got the cup tie against Salford this weekend. I'm sure they will have at least a minute's silence for him then, but hopefully, and I'm sure they will, In the derby, which is following next week on Good Friday, Hull KR against the Black and Whites, there'll be, I'm sure, an amazing tribute to him, because he deserves everything, and he deserves all the memories. You know, he was. I met him a few times. What a lovely man. He had a couple of pubs, didn't he, in Hull? He ran two pubs.
Yeah.
He was a great bloke.
He was very, very popular man, and he always stood out in a crowd. Mainly due to the fact that he was well over 6 foot tall, but a great player. And as I say, rest in peace, my friend. You'll be sadly missed.
He will. He will indeed. God bless him. Let's look at the cup that's coming up then, Steve-O. As I say, Hull KR versus Salford. We've already called that the tie of the round. Leeds against St Helens, the second week in a row that these two have met at Headingley. I think, with all due respect to Hull KR and Salford, it might be overshadowed by Leeds and Saints. That was a great game last weekend. And St Helens, with this wonderful run of victories at Headingley, Rowan Smith and company, though, they'll be relishing the challenge, won't they?
Oh, yeah, a golden opportunity. Look, many coaches, perhaps, will look at what's ahead of them in the season. And they perhaps deep down realise that maybe the one shot at glory for himself and the players and the club is to win at Wembley. It's been done in the past where perhaps they've rested players the week before they play the Challenge Cup semi-final or the quarter-final. It's been done for so many years. Is that, well, I don't think my team is good enough to win the grand final, but I think we have a team that can shock the best and make it to Wembley. So it's a golden opportunity for what I call the middle position on the table, and they will go out for it. And it's always a great competition. I always get excited when it comes to the major rounds, when all the top clubs are involved.
Yeah, and you've got to meet and beat the best if you're going to get there. And those two, Leeds and Saints, are going to dispose of one or the other on the road to Wembley. For Leeds, Momorowski is fit again, and Sam Lazone is back from a three-match ban. So they're stronger than last week. It'll be a hugely interesting and entertaining match. I'm sure it will be. And it's on the BBC iPlayer, don't forget. Wigan Sheffield, Steve-O, 1998 and all that. 26 years on, they meet again. And Mark Aston, who won the Lance Todd Trophy for Sheffield Eagles in 98, he is the Eagles coach. I bet he's showing the video of that win at Wembley to his Sheffield Eagles. But surely lightning can't strike twice, can it?
Well, you never know, Eddie. I can remember that Wembley final, and they gave Sheffield Eagles no chance whatsoever.
I know.
And they came up with a fantastic defensive effort. Wigan struggled, and Mark Aston was outstanding. Absolutely wonderful. Of course, as you say, he's the Eagles coach now. It's I very much doubt if it had been at the Sheffield Eagles home ground, then maybe there could have been a bit of a shock. But I doubt it. For Wigan to be playing at home, and the way that they've been playing of late is just outstanding. And on top of that, we discussed it quite early that, you know, three other coaches, 7-year contract. Boy, you're talking about having confidence, and they'll have confidence. It's going to be difficult for Sheffield.
It will be. It will be. Batley against Castleford. This is intriguing, this one, Steve-O. Craig Lingard taking the Tigers back to his old stomping ground. George Lawler's failed an HIA, so he won't play. Batley, they say they're planning a cup upset. The Bulldogs coach Mark Moxon and Craig Lingard, former colleagues, they both worked with John Keir for 4 years as well. They know each other inside out. The clubs have got a dual registration partnership too, so they're pretty close. We've said the trials and tribulations at Castleford are going through. I bet Batley are rubbing their hands, aren't they?
Well, they will be as well, because for those people that have never actually been to Mount Pleasant, it has shall we say, a fall away, around about 3 foot from one corner to the other. And Batley, and very similar to what Dewsbury had when they were playing at the old Crown Flat, is that they utilise the slope, and Batley will be looking forward to having the first 40 minutes where they can take advantage of that slope, because you can keep kicking into the corner and it just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling. And Castleford have to be aware that don't let Batley control the game in that first half.
Well, we say that this cup is an opportunity for clubs to kickstart their season, and this is Castleford's chance. It really is. They're probably done and dusted as far as the playoffs and the League Leaders' Shield talk is concerned, but if they can get past Batley into the quarterfinals, who knows? Who knows where it might take them?
Well, if you get a roll on, yeah, especially if they get a home tie, you know, in the next round, it could help them. And it's the same with Huddersfield and Hull. You know, Hull have not been playing well. It's as simple as that.
No, it's a massive game for them, isn't it? Massive game for them.
Yeah, and Huddersfield, they won't think it's going to be easy. They know. Look, Hull have got a lot of players who a few years ago stepped out at Wembley and won the Challenge Cup.
Yeah.
So they know how it's important it is. And I'm with you, Eddie. You know, I think here we have two teams that perhaps deep down won't get to the grand final.
Indeed so. So it's not last chance saloon five weeks into the new season. I understand that. But it's an opportunity to keep going and get a little bit of momentum behind them, isn't it? It really
The one game that I'm worried about is that, you know, London have to go to Warrington.
I know.
And, you know, they conceded 58 points, and London are struggling. We all know that. It's not going to be easy for them. Look, Sam Burgess, he knows that he wants to have a good cup run. Why not? A new coach comes to a new club. They want to be not just successful, but, you know, hammer the opposition, so that in the future, people will say, oh, we've got to go to Warrington next week, or in a fortnight's time, we've got to go to Warrington. But I'm sure Sam Burgess is doing a fine job. He will look back on last season. Warrington, what was it, 12 on the trot, Eddie?
Eight on the trot. They were top of the table. They're now top of the table again. But don't get carried away. Don't get carried away, Warrington fans.
Well, they won't be. And the one man that will not do that is Sam Burgess. He's fully aware. He's fully aware with what's needed. And I wish him all the best. And why not? It's a Dewsbury boy.
I know you think of the world of him. And I tell you who he also appears to think the world of at Warrington just at the moment. This young Leon Hayes, he's only 20. He's built like a young Andy Gregory, and people have likened Leon Hayes to Andy Gregory. I've heard that comment made a couple of times. I mean, if he gets to be a tenth of the Andy Gregory, he'll be doing all right, Leon Hayes, won't he? But he's playing really well at the moment. You know, they've hardly missed Drinkwater.
Well, if Leon Hayes is... he's been compared to such a great player. I mean, Andy Gregory, I hope he's got the same enthusiasm, because Andy Gregory could turn a game not only on his own by his skill, but by the determination he would show to his own players. He was always capable of turning around and giving any of his own teammates a real good rasping, saying, come on, you've got to lift yourself. You know, sometimes it's not all about what you do on the field of play. It's what you can pass on to your teammates to be able to lift them in different ways. And we all know what Andy Gregory, he wasn't polite with his own players. He was ruthless.
He was.
He was ruthless with them. And that's why they were so successful.
Yeah, he was a great player, Andy. And if Leon Hayes is being compared to him, as you say, it's a great feather in the young man's cap. Matt Dufty, by the way, Steve, we signed a contract extension at Warrington until the end of 2026. Now he's the top metre maker so far this year with 933 metres, and he got a hat-trick in London just last weekend. We can't talk about the Challenge Cup and not mention the holders, the Lee Leopards. They begin against their old adversaries, Featherstone. Featherstone getting to this stage by beating Wakefield in the last round. Didn't Lee gain promotion and consign Featherstone to the championship in the playoff matches a couple of years ago before it all went really well for them in 2023, Lee? So there's a bit of bad blood between the two sides, I bet. But Lee should sail home in this, shouldn't they?
Well, they should do. And I'm sure they're capable of doing that. I think they're doing quite well because they've also been one of the clubs that's hit with a spate of injuries. And look, anything can happen in the Challenge Cup, as we well know. Sometimes you think, I can't believe it. Last year, the two favourites, they both went out at semi-finals.
They did. They did. They gave us Lee and Hulkingston Rovers at Wembley, didn't they? Yep. Derek's at it again, by the way. Derek Beaumont. He's got the Taylor Swift tribute act on before and during the game. I mean, he doesn't miss a trick, Derek. He really doesn't. And good on him. You know, he has taken this IMG business about putting on a show to the nth degree.
It's all about getting the publicity, getting it right. And talking of publicity, a bit of bad publicity, actually, has come from down under. We all know Latrell Mitchell is a South fullback. He's classified as one of the best players down under. They've lost the first two games. A lot of pressure on the South Sydney. And he's come under fire after an expletive interview with a radio station called Triple M after the South lost to the Broncos, and he dropped the F-bomb no less than five occasions. Five occasions. But amazingly, the NRL have done nothing about it. Now, the man who's the CEO of NRL, Andrew Abbo, has just said that, and they've had a meeting, which was only yesterday, to pull him into line.
Steve-O, over here, you know as well as I do, how many times when we were on Sky, if the effects microphone round the pitch picked up some industrial language, we had to apologise immediately, or we, as the broadcasters, were in trouble because of the Ofcom regulations. Is there no such thing as that in Australia, that the broadcaster themselves has to apologise immediately? Does that not happen?
Well, this was on a radio station.
Doesn't matter.
Triple M. Triple M radio. Yeah, I understand that. It's more surprising, I'm afraid, that the NRL bosses have just had a word in his ear, when really they should either fine him or ban him for a couple of games. At least show some strength. And most people out here are saying that, does he run the game? Is he bigger than the game itself? It certainly looks that way.
It does. And, you know, I'm getting really, really nervous here right now because we have never fallen into any of that sort of trap at all in 30 years. And I don't want to do it in 30 minutes on a podcast with you. So let's pull the curtain down for another week before we lose our heads, and we'll talk in glowing terms about the Challenge Cup and everything else next week. Is that do? Okay?
That suits me fine, Eddie, but okay. I can always say you and I had the confidence never, ever to do anything as stupid as that.
No, and we haven't on this podcast so far today or in the 100-odd episodes that we've already done. Good lad, Steve-O. We will wash our mouths out with soap and water, and we'll be back same time next week. Thanks for being there. All the best.
All the best, top man.